Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for coming to chapel and celebrating Spiritual Life Week with us. The overall theme for this week has been exploring faith and doubt, but on today's final chapel, we'll focus on doubt, faith, stress, and other relaxing topics in the person of Acts of Renewal. Acts of Renewal consists of Jim Shores and Carol Anderson Shores. They are a husband and wife theater team. Since their relationship with Jesus Christ is the number one priority in their lives, they've decided to use their talents in doing professional theater from a Christian worldview. Their mission statement is, we want to create and produce excellent theater that glorifies God, leading audiences toward hope, toward goodness, and toward a hunger for God and Christ. So, I present to some and introduce to others, Acts of Renewal.
Question make any sense to you?
Nothing about this lab is making sense to me.
I take it you're not a science major?
I'm currently undeclared.
I thought you were a junior.
I am. What I want to know is how identifying 10 birds, 15 trees, and 20 whatchamacallits...
herbaceous plants.
...is going to help my life.
Oh, you can't come at things like that, or you're not going to get the most out of them.
Look, I'm fulfilling a requirement here. I'm not changing my life.
Well, you're not going to learn anything if you do it that way.
What are you, Mary Poppins?
What's your favorite bird?
I don't know.
What's your favorite bird?
I don't know.
Like, everybody has a favorite bird. What is it?
A cardinal, okay?
Look, it's right there on our list.
Of course it is. It's like the state bird of half the East Coast.
I'm just trying to help.
Sorry. What's your name?
Haley.
I'm sorry, Haley. I'm just not having a really great...
day?
...week, semester, life right now.
Do you want to talk about it?
No, I just want to identify birds so I can go off and freak out somewhere.
All right. Well, let's get started. Oh, look. I see a bird. Isn't that bush straight ahead? Ooh, can you tell what color stripe that is on its tail?
Where?
Where are your binoculars?
I didn't know we were supposed to bring binoculars.
It says so right in the syllabus. Didn't you read it?
No. Why would I read a syllabus?
To know you're supposed to bring the binoculars she assigned.
Well, I didn't, okay?
Fine, grouch.
Freshman?
I am not a freshman. I'm a sophomore.
Well, you wouldn't know it.
What is wrong with you, anyway?
Nothing. Let's just count birds.
Well, we can't do that because you didn't bring the binocular sheet assigned.
Okay, you count birds, I'll count trees.
No, like, we're supposed to do this together. That's what Dr. Klein said.
Well, as you just pointed out, I can't.
Do you even know the trees?
Yeah, I can recognize a flowering dogwood and a sugar maple, thank you. I'm not an idiot.
Why do I have to end up with a psycho killer?
I heard that.
Oh, look, I see a cardinal. Oh, he's flying this way.
Oh my gosh, did you see that?
Yes!
He landed on my shoulder.
I know.
That was crazy.
Maybe he likes you.
That was weird.
Wasn't that weird that your favorite bird lands on your shoulder?
Yeah, but let's not make too much out of it, okay?
I'm just trying to make conversation.
Well, don't.
What? Why are you so mad?
I'm not mad.
Then what are you?
I'm barely holding it together, okay?
Why?
My girlfriend just broke up with me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, funny thing is, I was going to ask her to marry me next week.
That's not funny.
I know. So anyway, it's probably why I'm not the best lab partner right now. I haven't really dealt with it yet.
Is she the pretty girl with the red hair that meets you after class?
Met me after class.
Sorry.
Did you ever just wonder what the point is?
Of what?
Everything.
Oh, I can't think like that.
You know, like how can any of this add up to anything that remotely resembles a life?
Don't talk like that.
It's a big question, isn't it? You know, is my life going to amount to anything? Am I a loser in the making? Am I already a loser?
Would you stop it?
I mean, here, I didn't even have a major. No wonder she broke up with me.
It's going to be all right.
How do you know?
Because it just has to be.
Oh, yeah? What about you? What if you major in all this science stuff and you don't even get into med school or whatever?
Ugh, I'd kill myself.
You could be a loser just like me.
No, really, I'd kill myself. That or my dad would do it for me.
What are you talking about?
Nothing. Look, can we just get back to this? Gosh, I have got so much work I've got to finish tonight. I've got to finish 2 papers, and I've got to start research on my honors project.
Your honors project? Isn't that like your senior year?
My dad thought it would be a good idea if I started early. I'm on the accelerated program. I've placed out of a lot of classes, so I can graduate early. Isn't that exciting?
I guess. Is that what you want?
Oh, it better be, don't you think? I mean, of course it is. Look, can we just not go there?
If you say so. You want a Snickers?
A what?
Snickers. I'm kind of hungry.
No, thanks.
No, thanks. Oh, come on, everybody likes Snickers.
No, thanks.
Oh, come on, take it. It's my peace offering.
Okay.
I was a jerk.
No, it's all right.
Look, mine is really good. Look at this. Oh, wow. Look at that. Mmm, yum, yum. Sweet caramel. Lots of peanuts.
I can't eat that, okay?
Oh, come on. You're so skinny. You can eat 10. Sorry.
I'm just not hungry, that's all.
All right, let's just count birds.
Fine.
And trees.
Good.
1 eastern redbud, Circus canadensis. Is this yours?
What?
This book. It's on this bench beside a white birch. Thank you very much.
What? No. Wait. Wow, my mother used to read to me from this book when I was like 8 or 9 years old.
That book?
Well, not this very one, but I mean, like, it's the same edition, the same cover. The Collected Works of Robert Frost.
That's cool. Is that from the library?
No.
Well, maybe you could give it to your mom, like as a present, you know, like for Mother's Day.
I wish I could.
Oh, come on, why can't you?
She's in heaven.
Oh, God, I'm really sorry.
Oh, it's okay. I mean, she died when I was like 11, but she used to read to me from this book. The Road Less Traveled. Oh, Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Eve. Oh, and this was her favorite one, Birches. I cannot believe this.
That's cool. Maybe you were supposed to find that.
It's just a coincidence.
Ah, come on, don't say that.
Really?
I don't know. What are the odds?
Really?
Okay, I guess personally, maybe I wouldn't mind it if it wasn't a coincidence.
Wow, my counselor said the most interesting thing last week.
You go to a counselor?
Yes.
Oh, I just meant, of course you do. I mean, that it's fine that you do. I mean, everybody does, right?
I've got an eating disorder, okay?
Oh. That why you wouldn't eat my Snickers?
Why am I telling you?
I won't tell anybody, I swear.
I almost don't even care anymore. I just wish I could be honest about it.
Well, what did your counselor say?
Well, it's about coincidences. She said if Jesus rose from the dead, then he's living today. And he's doing things in my life. I just need to open my eyes and notice the things that he's doing.
You think Jesus left that book here for you?
Well, I'd like to think he arranged it somehow.
He found it.
I did.
All right. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but supposing Jesus left that book here for you, I mean, what would the significance of that be? I mean, what would it mean?
What would it mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. That he's involved? Yeah, that he's involved in my life. That he knows where I am, like right this minute. And just maybe my life, maybe I matter to him.
You matter? Come on, you matter to him big time.
How do you know?
I don't know. I just know.
Oh, this from my existential lab partner.
Hey, look, I said I'm having a bad life this week. I didn't say I stopped believing in God.
I know what you should major in.
What?
Philosophy, for pity's sake.
That used to be my major.
Why'd you change it?
Oh, my girlfriend's dad made it pretty clear he didn't think it was too practical of a major.
Well, maybe this is none of my business, but I don't think it's too practical to base your major on the opinion of your future in-laws.
Well, they're not now.
Well, maybe that's a good thing, like, in the big picture. Like I said, it's none of my business.
How come you have an eating disorder?
I don't know. My counselor says it's something about trying to please my dad, you know, trying to make up for my mom's death.
You can't do that.
Do what?
Make up for your mom's death.
I know that. I know it up here, but somehow it gets down here. It gets all messed up, and I just can't bear to eat.
Don't you get hungry?
It's not that simple.
Guess nothing ever is.
But my counselor says to me that no matter what I'm doing or just trying to do, that Jesus is in the midst of things working it out.
All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. So my dad used to say to me in high school. I used to make fun of him. I'd call it the cheesy verse.
But if it's true, it's not cheesy.
I know.
God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. It's kind of what I'm holding on to right now, so please don't make fun of it.
It's kind of what I'm basing my life on right now, too. Yesterday, I met Alicia after class, and I tried so hard to come up with something, like, amazing to say to her. You know, something that would hold her there talking to me like we used to, and instead she got this trapped look in her eyes, started nodding really fast, scanning everybody else going out the door. She used to think I was amazing. Now I, like, embarrass her. It's pathetic, isn't it?
You want to be friends? I don't mean I want to date you.
Thanks.
Well, I don't think either one of us is very good dating material at the moment.
I don't want to date again until I'm dead. Yeah, sure, I'd like to be friends. Part of my problem, I don't have any. I dumped them all when I started dating Alicia.
Friend?
Yeah, friend. How many birds you got?
Two. How many trees do you have?
13.
13?
Yeah.
13?
I'm not as dumb as I look. You know what? Why don't you get the rest of the birds? Maybe you could catch the herbaceous plants.
What are you going to do?
Sit on this bench and figure out the philosophical meaning of this lab. This could be like a neo-orthodox existential environmental lab.
You know, I think I'd say about 10 more trees over there that need identifying.
You want to just bag all this, go to the grill instead?
No!
Oh, come on, I am starving. I could really go for a cheeseburger right now. I'd be happy to buy you some water. God, I'm sorry. You ever feel like an idiot like I do right now?
It's okay.
Still friends?
Yeah, still friends. In this piece that Jim wrote, which is based on, it was kind of inspired by a book by Brennan Manning called Abba's Child, which is an excellent book exploring the journey of doubt, faith, and where Brennan Manning brings that the conclusion is when you step to experiencing the unconditional love of God. That is our faith journey, is to get to the place where we keep growing into a deeper relationship with God, all the while wrestling with the doubts, wrestling with the faith, and much like the disciples, going two steps forward and one step back, two steps forward and one step back. I find that very heartening because it is a journey of wrestling with doubt and faith. And when you put it in the middle of stress, it's even harder. How many here right today are just stressed? Everyone in the back's doing fine. Everyone in the front's stressed, so you came early. Good. Okay. Well, that's the number one issue that students are dealing with across the country now. It's no longer relationships. Anxiety and stress is number one. We got so much coming at us, so much expectations. It is tough. And in the midst of that, when you're grappling with, does God really exist? Is he really love me? Is Jesus really in the midst of this when I feel like I'm drowning in the midst of my stress? Well, you're not alone. I love the fact that we have stories about the disciples who got it and then lost it, then got a little bit more, and oh, they're crazy. Anyway, that's why I love that we have those stories. And one of those stories is these disciples who had experienced the miracles, the healing. They're in a boat. They're going across the lake. They've got Jesus in the stern of the boat. He's gone to sleep. A big storm comes up. The waves are going. The wind is flying. The waves are so great that it says that they were coming in and filling up the boat. Jesus is still asleep. The disciples wake him up and say, Lord, don't you care that we are drowning? And Jesus, rising up, speaks into the storm and he says, peace, be still. Immediately the wind stops, the waves are calm, and he turns to his disciples and he says, why are you so afraid? Do you still have so little faith? So he stepped into the story where those disciples were thinking, this is the end of the story. This is it. And how often do we, in the midst of our stress, go, this is it. This is the end of the story. But because of Jesus, no matter where you are at in your faith journey, he is in the midst of it. He is in the boat with you. And it is not the end of the story. He is working things out. But one of the great ways that we can get to hear from the Lord in the midst of our stress, because that's often the complaint. I cry out, I'm running so fast, and I don't hear God at all, is to make space to get away. Make space so that you can step out of the stress to find a place to hear from God. You've got one coming up the end of March, a deep gladness, a retreat that's open to everyone. You always think retreat, oh good, get away from classes, go hang out with my friends. What about a place where you make space so you can actually experience and hear God? We know about love, we read about love, we can study about love, but it's not till we experience it that it all makes a lot more sense. Well, Jesus saw this for his disciples. He would get them away. And in one case, he wanted to bring them up so they could experience who he was in a different way. In the 16th chapter of John, it says that Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, took them up to the top of a high mountain. And there he was transfigured before him. His face shone like the sun. His garments became as white as light. And there appeared with him Moses and Elijah talking to him. Peter said to him, "Oh Lord, it is good for us to be here. And if you like, we'll make three shelters for you, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." The disciples fell on their face. They were much afraid. Then Jesus went over and he touched them. He said, "Arise, do not be afraid." And they looked up and they saw no one but Jesus and himself alone. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell this vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead." Whew, a nice sense of what was to come. What would it be like to process a scene like that? We'll show you a little bit of what could have been happening in this piece entitled The Transfiguration.
Psst. John. You awake? Me too. You kidding me? I couldn't sleep if I wanted to. John, I gotta ask you this. Did that happen? I mean, did we really see that? Then that means what Peter said is true, John. He's the Messiah. This is big, John. This is really big. I mean, he's God. I mean, I can't get his face out of my mind. I mean, I don't think we were supposed to see that. And now I can't get it out of my head. First, he calms a storm. He casts out a demon. What next? When I saw his face change, I have never been so terrified in my whole life. I mean, it was so majestic and glorious and beautiful. I mean, I've never seen anything so beautiful in my whole life. Did you look into his eyes? Yes, they were like flames, weren't they? Flames of power and might and majesty. Were you afraid? I was too, at first. But I sort of calmed down when Moses and Elijah showed up. Could you understand what he was saying to them? Did you hear what I just said? We saw Moses and Elijah. We saw Moses and Elijah. Glory, hallelujah. We saw Moses and Elijah. Woo! Didn't you get a feeling of knowledge? Of knowledge. Like inside of him was everything. Like if I could have just reached out my hand and put my finger on his foot, that my head would explode with knowledge. But it was more than that. It was understanding of everything and everyone. And not just like he knew your name or he knew about you, but that like he knew you. And he loved what he knew. He loves us, John. He made us, John. And he aches for us. God loves us. If ever I doubted, I don't know. I'm afraid for him, John. I mean, I can't explain it. He's too big for this world. Something is going to happen. Something's coming, and it's big. And we're going to be there. You and me. I just hope I'm ready when it happens. That piece really gets at the fact that in the midst of our doubt, we have those mountaintop experiences, especially when we come away to see who the Lord is, that we get a taste of, oh, yeah, He's God. He's the great transcendent God who is also right here in my heart. And the King of the universe lives within my heart. I'm okay, and it's all real, and He's good. We have to come away to have those mountaintop moments where we remember who God is. You know, it's been said that if you're by yourself without God, that is called isolation. But if you're by yourself with God, that's called solitude, and it is a good thing. And we need solitude, but we also then need to come back and be a part of community.
Now, we want to just expend a little bit of what Jim is saying about that time of solitude is also a time of rest. We're a big, big proponent of Sabbath time. We know that's in the Ten Commandments. We often look at that as one of the suggestions. But no, it's a commandment. And what God has given us is an invitation to come away from stress, to balance our life so that we can receive, we can feel His presence, we can hear His voice. Jim and I had our Sabbath on Wednesday. When classes were canceled, we didn't have morning chapel. We used that time for our rest. That was our day of rest. It doesn't have to be Sunday. But you carve out time to be able to be still, because that is what we need. When communist Russia threw out Christianity, they made a 10-day week. We don't need to follow God's 7-day plan because there is no God. So we'll make a 10-day week, work 9 days. They found that productivity went down after 6 days. People didn't produce more, they produced less. They played with the numbers and finally had to come up with the fact they needed a 7-day week, 6 days to work, 1 day to rest. When we rest, we're receiving body, mind, and spirit to recalibrate. So we try to do 24 hours when we can, from sundown to sundown, where we don't do anything that we consider work, so that we can rest and restore. It has transformed our lives and is very, very doable, and will change going from absolute stressed out all the time, where you'll find you carve out that time on a Monday or the day after, you'll be able to work faster, more efficiently, because you've had that rest. You will just think better. Now, the last piece we'd like to lead into is we want to talk about, wow, we're really flying along here. We were so concerned about getting it right under the line there of 40 minutes. We want to look at where community plays a part. In the first piece, you saw that this very acid and water student combo found that they had things in common that you wouldn't necessarily think. They probably wouldn't seek each other to sit with each other in the dining hall. And in a Christian college, you often make these little groups, like you belong with me because we think and feel exactly the same and those people don't. But the truth is, in community, we can help each other a lot in this whole struggle, this whole journey of faith and doubt, because if you scratch on the surface, underneath, most of us here struggle with some of the same big questions, and it is a healthy thing to wrestle through this. It makes a difference in a good way. It can be negative. You can just bring each other down in your doubts. But lots of times when you wrestle through these things, you come to some big ahas. Well, another way that we help each other in faith is speaking into each other's lives. Again, I look at this, and it says your goal is to educate students to serve and lead in a global context. Well, you're also doing it right here. This is your global context at the moment. And this is where you can speak into others, people's lives, at whatever part you are in the journey. So we want to explore a little about what that looks like to just show up and speak into someone's journey in this piece entitled Ice Fishing. Well, there you are!
What in the world? Who is that?
It's me, silly.
Alice, that you?
What in the world are you doing in the middle of Lake Hunkapatunga in the middle of winter?
Well, no, because when I do it in the middle of summer, I wind up on the bottom, eh?
You know what I mean, Bob. It's Christmas Eve. What are you doing here fishing in the middle of the night?
If you must know, I'm looking for walleye.
Well, them walleye are sight feeders, don't you know?
That's why I got a glow-in-the-dark worm on the end of my hook, don't you know?
Oh, aren't you more clever than an old wolverine?
Now it's my turn to ask you, what are you doing out here in the middle of the lake?
I'm looking for you, that's what.
Me?
You didn't come in for your pie tonight.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, you come in 10:30 sharp for pie and coffee. That's how I know my shift's almost over.
Aren't your feet getting cold?
Ah, I got on Finmore's old hunting boots.
You got a boyfriend?
He's my late husband, you know that. He died 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Oh, I'm not. He snored something awful. I didn't get a lick of sleep for 17 years.
Care to sit down?
Oh, don't mind if I do. My feet are killing me.
Chuck's got busy tonight, eh?
Oh, it's a loony bin. Oh, everyone's trying to get home for Christmas, doing last-minute shopping. Oh, we got some new jewelry down at the truck stop. It looks all spendy, but it's for cheap.
You going home for Christmas?
Oh, to my trailer, yeah. Oh, I got it fixed up all cozy-like, with little icicle lights, little stuffed reindeer and such. It's looking for cute, I'd say. Hey, you should come over tomorrow, and I can make you some eggnog, or we could fry up some walleye if you catch some. That would be good, eh?
Yeah.
What you doing out here, Bab?
Looking at the stars, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of them, there is. You see those three right there?
Yeah.
That's the belt of Brian, I think it is.
Oh, yeah. You don't say.
Oh, yeah. That's old Brian's belt.
What do you know?
What's the matter, Bab? You haven't missed your pie in 4 years.
I didn't know you noticed.
Well, I did. What is it? You got the Christmas blues, Bab?
See that hole right there in the ice?
Yeah?
Yeah, well, I've been sitting here about 3 hours thinking about maybe jumping right through it.
What do you want to go and do that for, Bab? You jump into that hole, you'd freeze to death, and then you'd die.
That's kind of the point.
What do you want to go and kill yourself on Christmas Eve for, Bab?
Hadn't made too much out of my life now, have I?
Oh, now that just frosts my butt. A man like you. You got the whole world ahead of you is what you got.
I ain't got nothing.
You got a job.
Cleaning the high school? Ain't that something to write your mother about?
Well, that high school gets mighty dirty. It needs someone to clean it.
And the kids, they all think I'm a joke.
Well, you put your self-image in the hands of a 16-year-old and you're bound to come away disappointed. What about your family?
I ain't got none. You know that. Never been married.
Bab, you're not gay, are you?
Now, how many homosexuals do you know would wear a hat like this?
You got a point there, Bab.
Oh, my life just hadn't amounted to all that much, that's all.
Well, now that is just a matter of perspective, don't you think? Oh, you hear that? You hear the singing? That's a midnight mass at St. Joe's is breaking up. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Behold, the Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. So that's where I go. I grew up Lutheran. My husband, he was Catholic. I just sort of got into the habit. But oh, they got a beaut of a midnight mass at that church. You know, you go in there, everyone gets these little candles, see? And then the priest, he lights his candle off the big candle on the altar. And then he lights it all along the front row. And they all turn around, light behind them, and back, till the whole chapel's filled with light. Everyone's singing, trying not to let that hot wax drip on our hands. I usually go.
How come you didn't go tonight?
Well, you see that trailer over there on the shore?
Yeah.
That's my trailer.
That's your trailer?
Yeah.
I usually build my fish house right here come January.
I know. I like how you decorate it with all them stuffed ducks.
Oh, yeah. Guess that's a little weird.
No, I look forward to it.
You should come out here and visit me sometime.
Well, I can't do that if you go and kill yourself now, can I?
Oh, no. I suppose not.
Anyway, I'm in my trailer getting ready for the service. I look out the window. I see someone sitting in your spot on the ice. I thought it might be you, so I brought you a pie.
A whole pie?
Yeah, I thought you might be hungry.
I don't know what to say.
You could say thanks.
Thanks, Alice. That there was real nice. I didn't get you nothing.
Oh, that's all right. Bob, you got yourself a bite there, Bob.
Doggone if I don't.
Well, you best reel it in.
Yeah, I'm trying. Oh.
Oh, this is big. You're not snagged on a log now, are you?
No, that's a fish for sure. It's fighting back.
This is exciting. What do you think it is?
I don't know. It feels bigger than a walleye.
Oh, could it be a big mouth bass?
I don't know, golly. It feels bigger than a bass.
A bass? What would be bigger than a bass?
I don't know. Here she comes.
Here she comes.
Oh, look at that. Bless me. It's a pike.
Oh, it's a pike. Sure. That's the biggest pike I ever did see. 18-pounder for sure. Are you going to keep it?
You betcha.
Oh, now watch it when you get the hook out of its mouth, and pikes can bite.
There, I got it. Come.
So are you going to stuff it and mount it?
Nah.
Because you know, I got a great pike recipe.
You do?
Yeah, my Uncle Lordquist give it to me.
Well, you know, I'm thinking all of a sudden, you want maybe I should come by tomorrow? Maybe you could help me cook up this here pike?
What I want is that you should meet me for church. 10 o'clock sharp. That's what I want.
Church? Ain't you got a suit?
Oh, you don't need a suit. You just need to show up.
Church!
It's better than jumping in that hole. And then afterwards, we could have that pie with coffee, proper-like, after we've had the pike for lunch. So what do you say?
Sounds real nice, Alice.
Oh, yeah, you betcha. My feet are getting a little cold here. I think I'm just going to walk across the ice back to my trailer.
Okay.
You think you can make it home now without falling in that hole?
Yeah, I think maybe now I can. Yeah.
All right, then. Good night.
Good night. Hey, Alice.
Yeah?
I'm thinking maybe you saved my life here tonight.
Ah, nothing to it.
Alice?
Yeah?
You think maybe I could kiss you?
On the lips?
Yeah, on the lips. Where else?
Well, Bob?
Yeah?
I've been waiting 4 years for you to ask me that.
Well, all right then, yeah. Come here, give me a kiss.
Oh, no, sirree. You come over here and give me that kiss.
Oh, yeah. That's better.
Well, that just takes the chill off, don't it?
Sure as heck does.
All right, then. I'll see you at 10 o'clock at the church door. Don't be late.
I'll be there. This is true.
All right, then. Good night.
Good night. Hey, Alice.
Yeah?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Bob. You got pipe juice running down your arm there, Bob. You best go home, wash it off before it freezes solid.
Yeah, good idea.
All right, then. Good night.
Good night. Look at you! Oh, my word, come here. Aren't you a beaut? Oh, to think of it, an hour ago, it's just me and the stars out here all by myself. Now I got you and a girlfriend. What do you know? God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Behold the Christ our Savior, who was born on Christmas Day, to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Thank you. I just briefly want to say that what Carol and I have talked about today is you're going to have stress and you're going to have doubt in your walk with Christ. But some antidotes to that are, one, perspective. This moment is not the end of the story. This moment is never the end of the story.
you know, if you look at it right here, he opens the cooler, looks at the pike and says, you know, to think of it, an hour ago, it was just me and the stars out here all by myself. Now I got you and a girlfriend. What do you know? This moment is never the end. If we can not give up, not give up on this moment, God takes us forward into the rest of our story, into the rest of our lives. And some moments are amazing and some moments are very difficult. But it's never the end of the story. God is in the business of working things out for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. So we have to take the long view and trust. And number two, we have to get away. We have to have those moments, those transcendent moments where we see Him transfigured in some way, shape, or form. Well, we have those mountaintop experiences that hopefully all of us in this room have had at some point. Well, we get it. We sense who God truly is, how great He is, how magnificent He is, how loving He is, how good He is. We have to come away. Three, we have to rest. We have to rest. We're called, we're commanded to rest. And if we don't take Sabbath, if we don't rest, then we will lose our perspective. We're just guaranteed of that. We will burn out. And so to be effective ministers for Christ, we've got to have rhythms of rest in the midst of our days. And then once a week, we just need to stop. And we need to look at that less of as a command and more of an invitation, I think. That's what Carol and I have had
to do. God welcomes us to slow down our pace, to match our heartbeat with His. Because when we're running so fast and we demand and expect God to speak to us, but we're running so fast, He's not going to run that fast with us. That Sabbath allows us to slow down enough to be able to hear Him.
And we're called Christians, which means Christ follower, but it's hard to follow Christ if we're running faster than Him. So we need to slow down. And then lastly, we need community. You live in community here. Look around you and celebrate and take advantage of the goodness that is involved in community here. Reach out to one another. Like in the first piece, you never know what one kind word might say to another person, really. You're speaking into their world. And then if you scratch that just below the surface, we're all struggling with the same questions. We're all wondering, you know, does my life matter? Am I going somewhere good? Is God aware of my journey? Is He involved? Does this moment right here, does He see me? Does He know me? And is everything going to work out? The answer is yes. I've read the back of the book. I don't know about you. The answer is yes. We end up in a very good place where this life will just be a moment, a very important moment, but a moment where every tear will be dried and every injustice will be righted, where everything will be made right again. And as C.S. Lewis says, we will so deeply appreciate the goodness of the millennial kingdom and the new heavens and new earth eventually. We will so deeply appreciate it because of the pain and the suffering we have been through, because we know what it's like when it's not good. So that when we do have the good, we are going to never forget how delicious and how magnificent it is. That is our future. We are assured of that. So trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. And when doubt comes, break away, have time with Him, and then spend time with your fellow brothers and sisters in community. Let me close this with prayer. Lord Jesus, thank You that You gave us minds, You gave us bodies, You gave us hearts and souls and spirits, and that we are knit together, and that we are knit together with You. And I thank You, Jesus, that You died for us, that You made a way for us. So I pray this day that we would have hope, that in the midst of our doubt, in the midst of our suffering, that we could put our trust in You, to choose to again put our trust in You, that You are indeed working things out for our good. And we praise You for that. We bless Your holy name and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all.